Father, we do thank you for our time together this morning. Though we'd be small in number this morning with as a result of the holidays, we do pray that nevertheless we would have a strong discussion, that we would have a good class, that we would continue to plow ahead and understand and just consider the various things that that we have to deal with as challenges in our life when we raise our kids, and especially in some of these very practical areas that we're looking at now. We pray for wisdom and insight in those things. Pray in Christ's name. Amen. Continuing to look at how to raise children who to become wise, responsible, godly adults. We are in the section that I've titled Developmental Activities, where we're just looking at the kinds of really everyday things that at least a lot of people do. and we're trying to look at ordinary everyday things that we may or may not even normally think about as having a biblical aspect to them. And we're applying the idea that all things ultimately tie back to a biblical worldview. And so everything, even like last week we talked about sports. You know, who would have thought sports had anything to do with a biblical worldview? But we brought out, I think, a number of principles that do indeed tie back to what the Bible has to say about our attitudes, about our behavior, about what's important in life, these kinds of things. So that's the kind of thing we're looking at. And we've looked so far at work, the importance of work, both in the household as well as working for the other guy, working for pay eventually, preparing for a career, all that sort of thing. We looked at education, both schooling and the options available there, homeschool, private school, public school. And we've looked at the kind of education that ought to take place in the house that goes above and beyond schooling, instilling a love of learning, or teaching them about life skills that they don't teach you in school. That's what the parents do, and so forth. And then last week we introduced the idea of recreation. Even recreation ties back to a biblical worldview. And I gave a little introduction to recreation. I want to just kind of step through it just sort of quickly. It's just one slide for those, number one, for those who weren't here, but even those who were, as I often say, I slept since then. So just to get our minds wrapped back around the idea of recreation and how that fits in as a general category to the idea of a biblical worldview. First thing I pointed out, just an observation, recreation is the default mode that your kids will tend to operate in. If you don't give them something to do, 90% of the kids, 99% of the time, are going to play, recreate of some sort. You know, they'll play with their toys, they'll watch TV, they'll do something that's just sort of, they think is fun. That's okay. But we need to think about think more broadly. And the first thing we want to bring to everyone's attention is recreation, especially too much of it, can end up becoming the kind of worthless pursuit that the Proverbs warn against. And we've looked at this, we looked at it last time. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. This is something we always, all of us as Christians, even as human beings, need to be concerned about in our life, because if we spend, we're all going to spend a certain amount of time in the pursuit of enjoyment or things that, you know, may or may not pan out, but we've got to be dedicating time to the things that put bread on the table, to the things that make life move ahead, managing our family, time with the Lord and church and so forth. You've got to spend time doing the important things. And you've got to make sure that if you do something that doesn't have a tremendous amount of value, that it doesn't end up overshadowing your life because you enjoy it so much to a point where you become imbalanced. But I point out, not all recreation is bad. Recreation can be a fun and effective way for kids to develop skills and learn things. We're going to see more of that today. Sports was a part of that. We saw some things last week in that. Encouraging and perhaps participating with your kids and the right kinds of recreation can be a great way for you to develop your kids' knowledge and abilities while everyone's having a great time. So this can be a win-win. It really can. But you just have to, you have to keep an eye on it. You have to watch it. So last week we finished up with sports, had a lot of good discussion. Nancy was particularly passionate about that, and there were some others who spoke up and contributed, and we appreciated all that. I was wishing that the shepherds were here for this one, because we're going to be looking first at the next thing as we're going to look at is music. Another area of recreation, if you will. So a couple things about music. I believe that love and appreciation of music is something that's a part of our being made in the image of God. We're not given a list, but, man is made in the image of God. There are things that that are instilled and are imparted to us. I think the ability to reason, the ability to communicate, the desire to create and so forth. Many, many things about our nature and character that make us like God. And I think music comes into that. Music is God's idea. And music is something that is even part of our worship of God, as described in many, many places throughout Scripture. We see it in the Old Testament, like in Psalm 150, verse 4. Praise Him with tambourine, dancing. Praise Him with strings and flute. I could literally put hundreds of passages up here out of the Old Testament that say this kind of thing and point to the centrality of music in the worship of God, in the praise of God, and in our relationship with Him. New Testament also mentions it. We're told in a passage talking about how a church ought to interact. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. And I could have included other New Testament passages. I think there is a song that's sung in Revelation. So in eternity, there's going to be singing. So music is very much a part of who we are. It's a part of the fabric of our human character and nature. It's a part of what God has designed, ultimately, to be used for His glory. So music is kind of a big deal, really. even though in some sense, it's sort of, you could view it as optional. And not everybody's as into it as some are. I throw this in too. It's been my observation that music can have a strong pull on our hearts and our emotions, pulling them in either a good or a bad direction. So, I could give a talk or a speech, and that can have an impact on your thinking, hopefully, or maybe I'm trying to have an impact on your thinking. But a song, it reaches deeper. It reaches deep because there are usually words to often or words to songs. So there is still, the message is still present, but it's accompanied by music. And music stirs feelings. And many people use that to their advantage. And rightfully so. I mean, if you watch a TV show, a lot of times there's music that comes in and out in the background, along with the laugh track and everything else. You never really think about it. It's just expected on TV. But if you stop and think about it, there's all this background stuff that goes on TV that's designed to grab you a little more, or a movie. How often does a movie kind of... Now, back in the old days when they had musicals, they literally used to stop the movie to all get out there and sing a song, climb every mountain, whatever, But they don't do that so much anymore. But the music is still there. It's very thematic. And there's that thump, 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 thump. Even if it's no more than that kind of music, or it's some kind of a sweet, soft music playing or whatever. That's all designed to pull you in more on an emotional and a full worldview level. Yeah.
Lindsay and her family were sitting down watching a movie once, and it had some scenes in it that were a little bit more intense, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And her sister, her little sister at the time, was probably about 5, wasn't even paying attention to the movie, but was on the floor playing with her toys. And while they're watching the movie, she just started crying. And they couldn't figure out why. And come to find out, it's because she heard the music that was playing, and it was indicatory of an intense scene. She knew that something very intense was about to happen. The music alone was just really starting to upset her.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of going along watching it and didn't even realize. So
yeah, and it's...
In movies, it's very, music is very important.
Yeah, there's a whole art to that, you know. Yeah. Music, and it's really hard to define. I'm one of these guys that likes to make categories and definitions for everything. When it comes to music, I mean, I could say, well, this is sad music, or this makes happy music, and so forth, but why? I don't know. It just does. You know, it's like, why does steak taste good? I don't know. It just does, you know. that's the way music, but it grabs you. I mean, and there's music that can make you feel sad. Even if you don't know any words to it, particularly like what you're talking about, or there's music that can make you feel tense, you know, dum 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 dum, you know, that kind of thing. I use it in the background of movies and whatnot. So, music grabs us. I think there have been. We'll talk about it at more length, I think, in some of the points that are to come. But entire movements in recent history have. Have been riding on the backs of music, as it were. I think about the 60s revolution, a period I grew up in, before most of your time. I think everyone's time in here this morning, but you've heard of it. Everybody knows about it. It's a time when the culture in our country and in Western civilization in general made a very, very sharp shift in what is, for the most part, a bad direction. There were some good things that came out of it. But there's a lot of rebellion, throwing off the old standards, and all that sort of thing. And there was a lot that went with that. You know, everything from hair length to dress to behavior and, you know, all this kinds of thing. But along with that, there was a musical revolution that was taking place. It's called, I think they call it the British Invasion, you know, we're from Great Britain. Wave after wave of at first it was just kind of happy-go-lucky rhythm and blues, Buddy Holly, love song kind of, well, I don't know, Buddy Holly's from Great Britain, but there was a number of British group, the Byrds and people like that, and then eventually, of course, who could forget the Beatles, you know, and the Beatles alone, I think, in many ways, fueled the revolution. Not by themselves, it was all part and parcel of a larger cultural thing going on, but music was very, very much in the mix. And our kids, you know, as they become teenagers and older especially, they're gonna listen to music. And they'll be listening in their little earbuds, the stuff that you might be surprised they're listening to. So that's something to be aware of. Well, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. So I just want to get at this idea of this, the power that music has to really grab us and pull in our hearts. And I just make an obvious observation just to show you how broadly we're trying to think here. If I say music, you may think about singing, you may think about listening to a movie. You can sing music, you can play music on an instrument of some sort, or you can listen to music, whether it's on a recording or a soundtrack or what have you. So music comes to us, and we participate in music in a variety of ways, and we're thinking of all those. We're thinking very broadly as we look through this short little section that we're going to look at here. Okay, so ways to help your kids with and through music. I want to just come up with some suggestions here based on what we've laid out so far about music. First thing I say here is teach your kids to appreciate a variety of good music by exposing them to it and talking to them about it. Something I found interesting, I don't know if you'll buy this or not, but I've pretty much had it proven to me, even though I still can't quite get used to it. The music you like is the music that you hear a lot. Or if you, and not automatically, I know you can hear music a lot and say, I can't stand that music, I hear it all the time, I don't like it. I understand that can happen. But there's a general trend that if you hear something a lot, you just start to like it because you hear it. It becomes familiar and it just becomes a part of your pattern of thinking. I think that's what happens with kids. They're listening to music that they're not hearing in their homes from their parents. At least I didn't while I was growing up. That maybe that's shifted since the baby boomers grew up. Who knows what goes on nowadays? But I know when I was growing up, the stuff kids were listening to in school, I was hearing it all the time. And I hear them talk about it, hear them playing on their little radios or whatever. It just became familiar after a while, you know. And you could almost sing those songs, you know. You could. You did. And so I had a friend of mine, or just a guy that worked in the same office as I did. And he had some kids, and he made this assertion that you can get your kids to like any music you want them to. And I said, I don't know about that. He said, yeah. He said, I've done it. He said, like my kids, I started playing country western music. And they, oh, I hate country western. That's okay. You're going to listen to it. And you just make them listen to it over and over and over. And pretty soon they started liking it. And then he started playing classical music, got them like classical music. And then he started playing, you know, whatever, jazz, you know, just name the categories. And I'm not saying you should or have to do that. I'm just pointing out that is a phenomenon about music. Putting music in front of people makes them familiar with it and tends to draw them into it and make them like it. And you can use that to your advantage. The culture uses that to their disadvantage sometimes, and we want to be aware of that. So you can appreciate all kinds. You want to show kids how to think about the direction that a particular song or kind of music is pulling them towards, or the influence that music might tend to have on them and on others. So I kind of think of this as, you know, here's how you use your mind to guard against your emotions. And you can't completely overcome emotions. Emotions have to be dealt with in a number of ways, on a number of levels. But one of the ways you do it is you begin cognitively getting them to see this song that you really like and everybody's all jazzed about. What is that song telling us? What direction is that song pulling us? And get them to think along that line. Now, here's where it gets a little bit tricky. I mentioned the Beatles. I happen to love Beatle music. I just like their stuff. You know, I think their tunes are quite artistic. A lot of them are catchy. You know, some of it is just very, on a musical level, it's beautiful. You know, it really is. Some of it's just kind of trashy sounding, but you know, it's a mix of stuff, obviously. But I kind of grew up with it, and so I have a sort of affection for it based on what I just said a while ago, just because I always heard it, you know, and it was just something that I grew up with. We went to a show here recently, and Sandy and I took a little trip to Las Vegas for a vacation, and we went to something called, I'm going to mispronounce this because I can never remember the correct pronunciation, Circus de Olay is what it looks like to me, but it's some French pronunciation that you can go look up later. It's basically a circus with music involved. And there was one that my boss recommended. It was on the Beatles. So the whole thing was just a big circus where they acted out a lot of the different Beatle music and different eras of Beatle music and all that. And I had really mixed feelings watching that show that I didn't anticipate. On one level, I went to see it because my boss recommended it and because, yeah, I like the Beatles. But as they showed like film clips of things that were going on that were influenced by what they were saying. And on another level, it really reminded me of what a bad influence the Beatles had in many areas. And I was sad by that and kind of almost mad. And yeah, I like their stuff. but I'm not taken in by it, okay? And this is going to happen with your kids, probably. Now, I don't know, not all kids. Some parents get real strict and they try to get their kids corralled into, you know, you won't listen to that, any of that kind of stuff. I think that I'm going to pick on them right here, so they can get the tape. But the shepherds, I had Mike over one time helping me work on some stuff around the house. And the whole time he was working on things, he was humming to himself. And, you know, I normally think of, he was, you know, in his teens, late teens when he was doing this. Normally when I see someone in their late teens humming music, I'm figuring they're probably humming pop songs. He was humming hymns. And I think that was just the music that, I don't know if the shepherds restrict their kids to that. I didn't inquire, you know, about how that all works. Some of you may know. I don't know. But I'm not saying you have to or that's good or that's necessarily bad or whatever. I'm not saying your kids should never listen to other things in the culture. I think there's value in introducing things to your kids in the culture and inoculating them against some of the things that they could easily get pulled into because of the effect that music can have on them. At least, even though it's going to still have that tug or that pull, at least help them to see it. And a lot of times, honestly, we listen to music without even hearing or listening to the words, you know, and we just laugh about those things and they sound funny, you know, and And we just, you know, that's just the way it goes. But I'm especially bad. My hearing's bad, so I can't even hear words of a song on a good day most of the time. And there's some songs, like Sandy and I have taken up ballroom dancing lately, and occasionally a song will come on, like, we'll dance to everything, even rap. And I'll put on a rap song, and she's like, turn that off, it's terrible. You know, oh, really? I don't know. You know, not a big deal, I'm not listening to it. But, you know, she's upset by it, because she's actually hearing all the words, and she said, that's just vulgar, it's just gross. So, oh, okay, well, we'll turn it off. Okay, but the main thing is you don't want them to get sucked into it, because words have meaning, and words and music are pulling you in a particular direction. My oldest son, when he was in his period of rebellion, I walked back in his bedroom, and there was some posters hanging on the wall. They were the names of musical groups. Let's see if I can remember them. One was called Twisted Sister, and the other one was called Judas Priest. I'm like, okay, we got a problem here, folks. He's like, Dad, it's just the name of some groups. I said, I don't think it's just incidental that somebody would name their group after the one who betrayed Jesus, and they're a priest to Judas? Really? Seriously? You know, I didn't win that argument that day, although the posters came down. But, you know, there's method to the madness. Even if the people involved don't know it, we know that the powers that be are working in the background to move the culture in that direction. And we want to be aware. We want to make our kids so aware of that. And they'll get sick of it, you know. It's like, and I'm going to tell you the same thing with movies, you know. My daughter, I think one time, complained that, you know, gosh, we can't enjoy any movie without having to sit down and analyze the whole thing when we get all done. Well, okay. And I know sometimes I would overanalyze, you know, like my family would go to a movie with me, and I'd come out and I'd be kind of mad because I saw, you know, some worldview implications. They were just enjoying the film. You know, oh, come on, quit taking it so serious. You can overdo it. I'll confess that, and I tend to. But I still think it behooves us to be aware and to be cautious and to caution our kids on these kinds of things. Consider saying to your kids, now this is not for everyone, you know, if you can't carry a tune in the bucket, obviously this is not talking about you. And even if you do sing, you may say, yeah, but I don't care to do that. That's fine. I'm not saying this is mandatory. I'm just saying consider saying to your kids, especially when they're young. And my wife likes to do this, and she does it with some of your kids back in the nursery. She'll sit there in the rocking chair, and she's singing hymns to them, you know, and it's soothing. The kids like that, and it builds a sort of a warmth and a bonding, a closeness, and a relationship there. It's a neat thing to do, if you're so inclined. And encourage your kids to sing and sing with them. So if you're worried about them running off after bad music, introduce some good music that you'd like to build a repertoire of. So even if they do enjoy those other things later, maybe not even in a way that you like, you have some foundation for some things that you share where you do have some commonality. But it's not going to happen if you don't have this as a part of what you're thinking about for your family. Encourage your kids to learn how to play a musical instrument. It's just a neat thing. It's not a must-do for anybody. But, you know, again, I'm going to pick on the shepherds again. I think it's neat that so many of them play musical instruments. You know, that Linda Beth plays the piano and the banjo, and Ethan plays the trombone, and on and on. So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just neat when you get a family and they learn to sing together, they learn to play together. It's just can be a fun thing. And again, especially if the parents have some musical inclination and can lead that, it can become a part of your family, a big part of your family culture. And for some families, it is. There's some folks that we used to watch up in Branson. In fact, we just went up there not too long ago. The Hey Good family. Have any of you seen the Hey Good family? You know, I don't even know if they're Christians, and I get the idea they might be, but anyhow, we used to go watch the parents sing when the kids were little bitty kids, and they just have them come out for a cute little song or something. They'd send the kids to the back, and the parents did the whole show. And the last time we went up to Branson, it's been this many years we've been watching this show, the kids are all grown. The parents are completely out of the show, and the kids are out there, and it had a little bit more of a rocky sound to it, you know. But the kids are really into all the music. They've all grown up in music, and they're all good at it. So that's fun. I mean, we're not all going to be the Haygood family, but something to think about. And encourage your kids to become involved in organized musical groups, as band, as choir, as orchestra, what have you. And I think a lot of things we said about sports last week apply to music. This is where you can make new friendships. This is where you can build camaraderie, give opportunities for the gospel. It's a place where you can learn self-discipline. You can learn appreciation of beauty. So much here. So much here. And we don't want to miss it. Because in a way, it's kind of obvious, but in a way, maybe not so much. So I want to bring it to your attention. That's pretty much what I have to say. I want to open up for discussion on music. And I'm just going to throw a few questions at you and see if anybody wants to speak to any of this. Let me just kind of get them out here. Do you believe it's a good idea to introduce your kids to music? I mean, I've asserted that it is, but that doesn't necessarily mean you agree with me. So, do you? And if so, why or why not? You know, if you agree and you like my reasons, that's great. But if you want to add to it, or if you want to say, I'm not convinced, or I have a problem with this aspect, or whatever. Any thoughts along that line? Yeah, anything that we've talked about. I mean, it's kind of a wide open thing. I've left this very generic because I'm not trying to narrow in on any particular thing. We've talked about everything from listening to pop music to playing musical instruments to singing hymns. I mean, we've talked about all those things.
Music is a huge part of our household.
I know it is, yeah.
Even before bed, we make up songs and sing and things like that. And I think that's even been a huge contributing factor to what has helped Liam start speaking. He started singing before he even really started speaking.
Interesting, okay.
So yeah, we're favorite of it.
Yeah, well, I would expect that out of y'all, knowing how much y'all are into the music, and you're a family who can do this. Again, this won't be for every family. There's some families like neither parent has a clue about music. Of course, you could still send your kids off for training. Does Nancy do music? I don't think she does. I think she's got all her kids trained in it. But I know maybe Ken has some background in it. But anyhow, you don't have to be that way. But you know, in a case like you, where you already have it, you're already set up. Do you believe that there are worldview implications to music? Again, I've said there is, and I don't almost think it's even disputable. But then if you buy that, can you give an example of a time or situation when music had a powerful impact on you or others? Yeah.
It always reminds me of like going to churches, call it mood music, and how teaching our children that it's important not to fall into a whole thing where music plays it tugs on your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
It can lead you to make decisions, whether it's spiritual decisions or other decisions. You need to be aware that it's not, platonic would be the word to use. It does have an effect on you.
Absolutely.
In any area that you're in. To me, the example I always remember growing up, thinking of that was how when David would play his music, it would soothe Saul.
Yeah.
And that it was powerful. It wasn't words. It was the music itself.
Yeah.
And so what we're listening to, how it kind of fits different moods. But for them to be aware of that listening to music in church, to hear it. And in our home, I have a tendency of when I need to clean or I'm baking and I want energy, I want something.
Yeah.
I have a tendency if I am a diehard oldies fan, you know,
uh-huh.
The 50s, 60s golden thing. And I realize that my children, as soon as they hear it turn on, if I plug in Pandora or something,
yeah.
They come racing into the kitchen. And sure enough, mama's dancing at the kitchen sink. And they all get in on it. And they love it. They think that is just the silliest thing, but that there's a time and a place for that. But I was thinking about how the words to music, found, again, Pandora is my go-to now, but
uh-huh.
You type in Gettys, and it'll pull up your playlist of all the Gettys music, and it'll just go one through the next, and songs that are very similar to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed Isaac lately, my nonverbal child, who doesn't pipe up for hardly anything, as soon as it started playing, he's in his seat and he starts singing along. That he's recognizing songs he's familiar with because we've started singing some of them in church. And the tunes, the melodies in there are very simple, but they stick. in your head. But he did. He had been quiet the whole time, and then as soon as that was on, he started singing along with it, and then when the song was over, it was a new song that came on, he stopped. But it was just interesting to me that he recognized
that,
because it's something that, again, is being inputted into them a lot. So to me, I can see that there's good things about teaching your children what is music, the ins and outs of it, so they can understand it. It's mathematical. It helps their brains grow in just different ways. But also so that when they go out into the world, they realize that pull, and they don't get sucked into it thinking it's innocent. It's not. And it is very, very tempting, all the different types, and that we have to be careful to guard against that.
Yeah.
If they don't know it's powerful in that aspect, they're not going to know they need to put up walls to protect their minds and their ears from what they're hearing.
I find myself needing to learn how to appreciate music for its artistic ability. Worldview implications, I'm thinking about that all the time.
Right.
And I will maybe unintentionally become judgmental, because I am determining by listening to a few lines of lyrics what that artist is saying.
Right.
Or what.
And you're probably right.
What he's implying.
Yeah.
We were doing some Christmas music the other day, and maybe it's cold outside.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Slow down. Listen to what this is about.
So. My friend calls that the date rape song.
What's that?
I have a girlfriend that calls that the date rape song. Just drink.
But we can, I don't know what the balance is, and I'm trying to learn to not be that stick in the mud always.
Like me.
Say,
oh, you know, with movies.
Everything but hymns is unacceptable.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even there are some tunes in our own hymn book that originated in the honky tonk.
Yes, so I'm told that. Yeah,
you have to, you know, sanctify the ordinary and allow the Lord to there's much grace, but also a requirement for much discernment.
And Danny Boy was taken out of the bars, and it was turned into the song "You Look Beyond Our Fault."
It's what?
He looked beyond our fault.
Yeah.
That's the title of the hymn, but it's "Oh Danny Boy."
Okay.
His tunes are familiar, and when you have the tune, you can put any words you want into it.
Right.
It's the actual melody that people retain and connects the emotions to it.
Sean, you were going to say something? You had your hand up a while ago.
I was just going to say that for me, this is, principalically, this is a lot like what Pastor Tim was talking about a couple weeks ago in other areas concerning, you know, you might even expose some of the unpleasant type of music to your kids, not ongoing, but in a sense of showing them, this is what's out there. How does this affect you? What are they saying? What background does the author come from? In the same way that he talked about listening to NPR and Fox News or whatever, where you're getting more of a well-rounded, you're trying to attack their mind in such a way that you're teaching them how to think about things, how to get to worldview implications and all these types of things. So it kind of works principally in the same sense, but in the realm of music.
Yeah, and that's something that all of you as parents, you know, your kids are eventually going to grow to the age where that's going to be seen by them as an option in our culture, to engage in the pop music of the time, whatever that is then. And you're going to have to make decisions. And this is almost like the homeschool, private school, public school thing, in the sense that parents fall out along a spectrum where this is concerned. You're going to have the parent that says, my kids don't need to listen to any of that junk. You know, I'm just going to tell them and warn them against it, and it's not going to be played in the house, and I'm not going to be letting them listening to it in any way, shape, manner, and form. If I catch them listening to it, they're in trouble. You know, there's going to be that degree, and then there's going to be the ones that just kind of da-da-di-da, and they just let everything happen. The kids just go on. They just act like there's nothing there. They ignore it. They don't address it. They don't speak to it. Maybe they even sit and listen to some of the stuff themselves uncritically and endorse the kids in it. And then there's all those positions in between. Mine tended to be one that I think I want my kids to understand culture around us. And very much a part of the culture is music. It's not just music, it's lots of other things. But I want them to to understand and engage the culture on its terms, coming from a Christian point of view. So I wanted to, you know, allow a certain amount of that and speak to it in terms of analyzing it with them and so on and so forth. And, you know, you'll have limited degrees of success because to some degree, your kids get into the teenage years and some of them will just kind of blow you off, you know, like, yeah, you old fuddy-duddy, you know. I went through that stage myself. Of course, I didn't grow up a Christian particularly. I became a Christian about in high school, but my music and taste didn't automatically become all Christian. You know, I was already, by the time I became a Christian, I had already fully engaged in the rock music culture and much that goes with that. And, you know, it took a while to sort through that and clean some of that out. And to this day, I'll still snap my fingers and tap my toe to a pretty bad song if you really analyze it from a biblical worldview. And I know that, you know, I know that. But I liked it. I grew up with it. It's just, you know, I'm not going to stop singing it all together. I mean, even on an innocent level, I mean, you go back to even the 60s, you know, when it was not near as bad, you know, take out the papers and the trash, you know, yakety yak, don't talk back. What's that? The song is mocking parents who are trying to get their kids to do the right thing, if you stop and think about it, you know. So we're just going to say, well, that's terrible. You know, we can't sing that anymore. Yeah.
And yeah, we can't live in a bubble. And I'm reminded of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're in Babylon.
Yeah.
And they're in the culture and the music, the pagan worship, everything's all around them.
Yeah.
But they worship the Lord faithfully in their own way in the midst of Babylon.
That's a great illustration. That's what we want our kids to be. Because here they were torn away from their country, their home, thrust into a situation where there's a lot of pressure, very serious pressure, and not just it's beyond peer pressure. Peer pressure is bad enough. This is like, you know, they could be threatened with being thrown to the lions or thrown into the furnace, and they stood up for their faith, and they made distinctions. They could eat some of the food, but there were certain kinds of the food they could not bring themselves to be involved in. It was against their scruples and against their convictions. That's what we want our kids to come out like. Yeah.
I think it's also interesting how you know, the saying "you are what you eat." Well, a lot of times it's you are what you listen to. That as a musician, we don't realize many times we will mimic almost to a T what we've been listening. Like when you practice to do a solo on an instrument or singing, you many times will have listened to a recording of it somehow.
Yep.
And without realizing it or intending it, you will mimic how you're hearing that person play it. So singers nowadays, when the world starts doing the wispy and, you know, however it is they're doing lyrics with their voice, they'll come into the church, and that's how it happens. So
yeah.
being attentive to what you're listening to, how it affects you. And it, even in a classical setting, I'll never forget, it never made sense to me when we went to find a private teacher for violin. She basically had me audition. For her to even say, yes, I'll take you as a student, I remember having to audition with her. And one of the questions she asked was, what do you listen to at home? And my mom laughed. She was like, oh, they listen to the classical all the time. There's a boombox that we got for Christmas when I was about 9. And it sat on the kitchen table while we all did schoolwork. And that thing played classic 98.1, you know, classic King FM from Seattle. And it was on all the time in the background, all the time, until we would play Jeopardy. As soon as the song would start, okay, you had the name of the composer, time period, and the name of the piece. It was this challenge of, because you heard it so much, they play the popular songs over and over again. But without us realizing it, here when we transferred what we had been hearing all that time and started playing instruments in orchestra setting, how we were mimicking those professionals and everything, and it started to bleed into what we heard when we were given music and orchestra, when we had private lessons. We already knew, our brains already knew.
Yeah.
Because we heard the style. And it was in here for a professional teacher to say, it's important. I won't take a student to if they say they're only listening to the rap or rock music nowadays. She goes, I don't even want to mess with them. Hmm. Because you're fighting an uphill battle. She goes, where if you have students who they're listening to this, it's in their minds, they understand it, you can give them music and absorb it that much faster.
Okay.
So those are the students I want.
Yeah, well, it does have more of an influence on us than we realize. I mean, that's, you know, and even me, though I don't hear the words, I think at some subliminal level I'm absorbing thoughts and ideas. My way of combating that is not so much to avoid it, although that is an option, and, you know, you can limit it, certainly. But if nothing else, to combat it in the sense of approaching it from an analytical standpoint and at least understanding what's going on and making yourself think through it, you know. But again, at emotional level, sometimes you can have that tug going on more than you realize. Let me see, I think I might, because we're about ready to wrap up here. Yeah, that's it. So, all right, any other thoughts? Because I think we could probably, we don't have time to introduce the next topic, which next week we start with games. Yes, even games have biblical implications. Yes.
I think one of the nice things about music nowadays is you can read the lyrics to stuff. So, like, even before, like, you sit down to listen to something. Like, I knew a mom whose daughter would be like, "Mom, listen to this song, so
yeah,
I could buy the CD." But the girl had picked out the songs she wanted her mom to hear that were good songs.
Yeah.
When the rest of the CD has got bad content on it, it's like you're tricking your mom, and her mom fell for it. And so sitting down and, like, looking at the lyrics and stuff, and even going through, like, what is this talking about? And I think those could definitely be helpful things. And
yeah.
Let's analyze everything. What is this telling you?
Yeah. And it is, you're right. It is helpful that we can Google the lyrics. You know, that's just a luxury that in the past, I mean, with my hearing, when I was a little kid, I can't remember any right this minute, but I used to repeat back what I thought the words were to a song I was listening to. And people just laugh. That's not what it's saying. You know? So, yeah, but we can Google it now. But, yeah.
I still get that now.
What's that?
I say the same thing. I'll sing a song and Stephen will laugh at me and be like, "That's not what it means."
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's also extremely good at picking up lyrics the first time through. So.
He is.
Yeah.
I get those definitely not.
And sometimes even if you hear the lyrics, what does it mean?
Yeah.
You know, like some of the Beatles songs were classic for that. She keeps her face in a jar by the door. What does that mean?
Talking about, they just think it's a funny song about broccoli.
Yeah.
And there's this Christian thing that Stephen's been looking into a little bit that has, they send out emails weekly or monthly or something with, these are things that your kids will know that you need to know based on culture,
yeah,
things like that. And that was one of the things. And I was like, that's really interesting.
I don't want to save anymore.
I know. So it is interesting because You don't always know what is being talked about.
Yeah. I realize for many of you, this is kind of future. I mean, of course, we got, you know, the Lloyds obviously have teenagers and beyond. But, you know, some of you are still raising the real young ones, so you're not seeing a lot of this. But really, it's hitting earlier and earlier. And be prepared now because it's going to come. And you want to hit them, to borrow a Dennis Rainey phrase, before the static on the radio comes in and starts making it harder for them to hear you, because when they go in those teenage years, many kids, I won't say every single one, but I would say a very large majority of kids tend to become less influenced by their parents and more tend to kind of stand back and not sure about this kind of thing. So if that happens with your kids, you know, you want to be prepared for that, and you want to try to head that off as much as you can. All right. Yes. Andre.
I think this is important, and it's music that comes out and you put Christian words to it, so we think, oh, that's fine. And what's that song, On a Dark Desert Highway?
Hotel California.
Oh, yeah.
That song has always just felt evil to me.
It kind of creeps you out.
Yeah, it is. It's a creepy, creepy song. Paul got into this phase of, like in this group that would do that.
The Eagles, yeah. I like the Eagles too, by the way. I have to confess.
Even though it's got good words, that song, that still creeps me out. What's the words?
Welcome to the Hotel California. Oh, you talking about the Christian song?
Oh, it's about maybe Jesus being born and the inn being closed and all of that.
Yeah.
So it's good stuff, but
yeah,
that still makes me feel icky.
Yeah, I understand.
things that are a big deal.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The Christian t-shirts that turn common products into
yeah.
saying Christian
yeah.
slogans.
Yeah.
Like, so you're sneaking in.
You don't use a beer sign to present. But I was going to use that in rap. You know, just because you put Christian words with rap doesn't make it good music.
Yeah.
And we had a teacher in service one time, and I did not go to this in service, but when we gathered for lunch, everybody was talking about what they went to, and another teacher was telling hers was about music. And they did a study on rats and put them in a maze and played different kinds of music, and it was like, well, classical, they just went through the maze and on the way out. And then they went to rock music, and the rats were just kind of scattered. They couldn't find their way out. It agitated them. But when they put rap with the irregular beat, the rats killed themselves.
Wow.
So I thought that was a very interesting and powerful
yeah.
Thing to know.
Well, let me, I want to continue, but I'm afraid we're running us out of time. As usual, I'm always running us over. We'll pick up next week, and just something for you to think about anyways. I hope you've enjoyed it. Father, we just thank you for this time and for the considerations here. And much of the sharing was very, very good in the sense of, you know, getting us to really process these things and help these parents as they face this, some of them in coming years, to do a good job with their kids and to be alert, be aware, and to do all things to your glory and honor. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You're dismissed.